Good morning. Praise the Lord. Yeah, Michael scared everybody today. I think everybody thought Pastor Charles came back from the grave. He looks so much alike. And so did Pastor Charles's dad, too. They all look alike, those Arnolds. They all look alike. Let me get situated here. God is telling us that 2020 will be the year for the God of plenty. The God of plenty in 2020. For God is plenty in 2020. And we'll find out a little more about that momentarily. But for now, could I have my volunteers to give out to the good and plenties? Please, they're right here. I had something else prepared for today. And the Lord woke me up in the middle of the night, not too long ago, and said, nope, this is what you preach. I am the God of plenty in 2020. And he's sweet, too. And he's good. And I want you to remember God, good, and gold. God, good, and gold. You don't have to eat them. You could just sit them up on your shelf somewhere when you get home so that you be reminded that this coming year of 2000, God will be plenteous in our lives. So how many of you are glad that Christmas is over? Whoa, I knew it. I knew all the hands would go up. I was expecting more hands, but everybody's out on vacation, I see. Anyway, you know, the enemy likes to take away from Jesus, as you know, and so he makes the holidays sometimes like a bedlam. You know, he takes the focus away from Jesus and keeps us busy, keeps us active. We're out to dinner, it's Pollyanna, we're buying gifts for who knows who. Should I buy gifts for this one, that one? Did they give me a gift? Should I get them a gift? Did I get a Christmas card? Should I give them a Christmas card? And we go on and on and on. And then Christmas, like I said, it's being taken away from the Christ child. And that's what the enemy wants to do. He gets us so busy that we get our focus off of Jesus. And in a way, that's a trial. Going through Christmas like that is a small trial. If we get through Christmas in faith, or anything in faith, or any trial through faith, we get rewarded. Now, the number 20 in the Bible is significant, along with other numbers. The Bible is full of symbolic things, as you know. Colors are symbolic. White is for purity. Red is for the blood. Purple is for royalty. Gold, the color gold, and the metal gold is deity, God. Silver, the metal silver, or the color silver, speaks of redemption. Jesus was sold for 30 pieces of silver. Joseph, a typology of Jesus, was sold for 20 pieces of silver. And then we have bronze, which speaks of man's feet walking upon the earth. So the Bible is filled with symbolism. And number 20, I'm going to read before we get into our message, I'm going to read to you what the number 20 means biblically. The number 20 in the Bible symbolizes the cycle of completeness. It is connected to a perfect period of waiting, labor, or suffering that is compared to a trial, and it is rewarded. Now, let me give you some examples. There are many in the Bible, but I only picked a few for the sake of time. In Genesis 31, this is significant today. We'll be talking about this a little later. Jacob waited 20 years to get his wives and property. 7, 7, and 6. 20, complete, rewarded. In 1 Kings 6, 9, and also in 2 Chronicles 7, 11, it took 20 years for Solomon to build his house and the Lord's house. And he finally had a permanent place to live. He was rewarded. In Judges 4, Jabin, the Canaan king, was oppressing Israel's people for 20 years until they became free. In Genesis 19, God told Abraham that if he finds 20 righteous people in Sodom and Gomorrah, that they would not be ruined. And the number 20 is associated with a trial, a period of waiting in faith unseen. And then after we get through the trial successfully in faith in Christ, then we get rewarded. Now, in order to understand the number 20 better, let's look at the number 19. We are in 2019 right now, and in 3 days we'll be in 2020. And I've had this on my mind. You know, I've been studying and had it on my mind. I'm saying, oh, wow, Lord, you're really something. You're really so great. And everywhere I look, I see 19 and 20, 19 and 20. And just not too long ago, I got in my car, and my car is 10 years old. And I looked down at the odometer, and it said 119,999 miles. And then that last nine was ready to turn over again. And when it would turn over again, it would become 120. So I'm looking down at it, and I get down my driveway, and sure enough, it turns over. And now my car has 120 miles on it. And I'm saying, oh, Lord, you do have such a sense of humor, do you not? I mean, yes, he's serious. Yes, he's God, but he does have a sense of humor. And he likes to fool around with us every once in a while. So we could understand the number 20 when we understand the number 19 a little better. So let me read to you first, and then we'll get on to our messages. The number 19 is associated with faith unseen, and 20, faith rewarded. In Hebrews 11, and you can turn there because we're going to spend just a little time there, but you can turn there if you want. If you're taking notes, I'll give you the scripture reference. Hebrews 11, we have the hall of faith, the ancients who were commended for their faith, right? There were 19 of them, 19 people of faith. And because of their faith unseen, they were rewarded. In Genesis 7, 13, Noah is mentioned 19 times when he entered the ark with his wife and family. Abraham was mentioned 19 times in Genesis 13 when he left Egypt for Canaan. So we can say that through your trials, faith unseen in 2019 will lead us to the God of plenty in 2020. Let's remember that, the God of plenty in 2020, because he rewards us plenteously, is that a word? It is now. He's plenteous in his rewards. He overflows in his rewards. In Matthew 7, Jesus said to the people, if your children are hungry, and they ask you for bread, would you give them a stone? And if they ask you for fish, would you give them a snake? And Jesus said, you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your Father give you if you just ask? And we can never outgive God. So what we do for our children, the Lord will bless us so much more because he loves us so much more than we could ever love. So now let's get on with this message for today. The God of plenty in 2020, Hebrews 11, God rewards us or anyone who diligently seek him. Let's go there. 11:6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently or earnestly or wholeheartedly seek him. I want us to understand clearly that seeking and searching for the Lord is what we do every day. On Sundays, we seek and search. Wednesday nights, we come here, we seek and search. Worship, we read the word. We seek and search for the Lord. Those two words are verbs. But diligently and earnestly seeking the Lord are adverbs. And it's sad to say, but it's true, that when we go through trials, we seek the Lord more diligently than we normally do. When we're sick or when we have a problem, all of a sudden, you know, how many people come to church? How many people start praying? People get very holy when the heat is turned up, right? And they diligently seek the Lord. Now, God is good. He gives good gifts to his people who ask. But even when we don't ask, if we get through our trials faithfully, faith in him, and successfully, if we don't grumble and complain in getting through our trials, we will be greatly rewarded. That would be the number 20. Now, I want to read to you from James 1 and 2. You can turn there, or you could just make a note of it. James 1, verse 2. He says, consider it all pure joy, because the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance leads to perfection and completion. So consider it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you go through trials and you ask God for wisdom, and he gives generously, plenteously. Okay? So now let's talk about trials, and we're going to compare trials to gold, okay? Let's just say that our getting through Christmas without grumbling and complaining, let's just say that it's a 9-carat trial, because we know that we're being purified like gold. That's what the Word of God tells us. And we are being placed in the fire, just like gold is. God turns up the heat. We go through our trial. When we get through our trial, we get rewarded. And each time, and by the way, this is not a down or a discouragement type of message, because whether you're Christian or not, you're going to go through trials, because that's life. This side of heaven, we're going to go through trials, one right after another. And when we get through one trial, that gives us the character and the strength and the stability to go through the next one. You can compare it like a cold. When you get a cold, you get sick, you get, you know, you don't feel good, right? But when you get through that cold, you can resist the next one that comes along, because now you're stronger. Your body has built up a resistance to that strain or flu. And so it is the same way in the spirit world as well. When you go through one trial, you get strong in order to go to the next one. And each trial we go through, we get rewarded. So now, we are like gold in the fire. And let me tell you, this is so interesting. These are things that, some of these things I just didn't know. There are 3 stages of gold. The first stage, when gold is in the mine, It takes 10 to 15 years for that piece of gold just to be fit to be put in the fire. 15 years in the mine just to be fit to be put in the fire. The second phase of gold is the melting point. That chunk of gold has to be melted. And that melting point is 1948 degrees, 1,948 degrees just to be melted. Just to be melted. 10 to 15 years just to come out of the mine, and then it has to be melted to 1,948 degrees. What about the boiling point? Ah, that's stage three. The boiling point for gold is 5,173 degrees in order to get pure gold. So now we can go from 9-carat gold to 24-carat gold. When we reach 24.99, we're perfect, and we're with the Lord, because we're not perfect down here. We've got our own sets of issues and faults and all of that, and impurities that need to be burned off of us. So, which trial are you going through? Are you going through a 9-carat trial, a 10-carat trial, 12-carat trial, 14, 18? 22, by the time you get to 24, like I said, you're home with the Lord. But each time we go through a trial, the heat is being turned up in us so that the impurities are coming off of us. That's why we go through trials, to make us strong. We don't like it, but hey, that's life, and we're going to go that way. Now, how long, think about this in your own life. For me, it was 24 years. I came to Christ when I was 24 years old. How long were you in the mine before you even came to a melting place? You come to Christ and your heart is melted, because you can't come to Christ with a hard heart. Let me tell you another scripture. Let me give you another scripture. If you're taking notes, Ezekiel 36, 26. I want to turn there because this is just mind-boggling to me. Too many markers here. Ezekiel 36, 26. And remember now why this scripture was given. Because God told Ezekiel that Israel were hard-hearted, stiff-necked people. So in the 26th verse, God tells them, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you, and I will remove from your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. We come to Christ, like I said, that's our melting point. We have to have a soft heart to even come to Christ. How many of us come to Christ hard-hearted? We don't. I came close, I'll tell you that. I came close because I said, the person who led me to the Lord, I said, I don't know if I believe what you believe. I was raised believing that Jesus was Lord, but I didn't know him personally. I was just religious. But when that person led me to the Lord, I said to him, I want to believe, but I don't. And he and his wife said to me, well, I'll tell you what, you just ask the Lord. Lord, if Jesus, if you're really Lord, let me know. And when I prayed that way, then the Lord came into my heart. And of course, then my hard heart was softened. That was my melting point. Now listen carefully to this. You know, the thief comes to what? To steal, to kill, to destroy, right? If you're wearing a gold chain around your neck, and let's say it's 9-carat gold, that gold is pretty hard because it hasn't been softened. It's not high in carat weight. And let's just say a thief comes along and tries to rip, because I hear that that's been happening. He tries to rip or she tries to rip a chain from your neck, and your chain is 9-carat. It's going to be pretty difficult for him to do that. And if he or she knows anything about gold, which they usually do, they probably won't bother with you because they'll know by the color of that 9-carat gold that it's not worth taking off your neck. But if they tried, your neck would be a bloody mess because that 9-carat gold is so hard. Now, if you're walking along in a bad neighborhood and you have an 18-carat gold chain around your neck, you better guard it with your life, because the thief probably knows that that's quality, that's valuable, that color is different. Now it's not a bright, shiny, brassy yellow. Now it's deep and saturated in color, and it's worth a lot, and he wants that. Now, am I just talking physical here, or are we thinking about the spiritual relevance of that? What you and I have in Christ is very valuable. We don't have 9-carat gold lifestyle. We have an 18-carat gold, 22-carat gold on our way home to the 24-carat gold, but right now what we have in gold is very valuable, and I'm not talking about the actual elements, I'm talking about our lives and how precious we are to Christ, to God, and how valuable we are. So we have to protect ourselves from that evil one, because he wants to steal and kill and destroy us. So when we first come to Christ, maybe we're a little, you know, wet behind the ears, and we're really not very careful about our lifestyle. But then when we're in the Lord a while, and when we go through trials, trial after trial after trial, we get stronger and we grow closer to the Lord, and then our lives become more valuable because we know what it feels like to be put in the fire. Anybody been put in the fire in 2019? A lot of hands would go up for that too, right? And I know, you know, I've prayed with many of you. I know what you've gone through. And the trials will keep on coming, but we'll get through them because the Lord will give us the fortitude and the rewards each time we go through each trial. I have a friend, her name is Christy. She's been through a great trial. She's come from a divorce. I won't go into detail, but she tells me I could share this, that. It was devastating for her and for her children as a result of this divorce. And it lasted many years. But she got through that trial because she trusted the Lord. She had faith in the Lord. She prayed. She stood firm. She stood strong. And the Lord took her through it. And now she's getting a reward. She's leaving this area. She's going to go off to New York to be with her daughters. I know you'll miss her. So will I. But she'll be rewarded. She'll have a good life. My daughter, Marianne, the same thing. Been through a horrible divorce a couple years ago, and it wasn't easy for her either to go out on her own. It's difficult for a woman, a single woman, a divorced woman, a widowed woman, it's difficult for a woman to go out and be on her own. She doesn't have the help of her mate. And she has to go out and secure a house and a car payment and insurance and health insurance and care for her children all alone. But she's rewarded now because she stuck to it. And she went through her trials And God burned out all those impurities in her, and she became a more valuable person, Christy and Marianne. And our own Raina here, I love Raina's story. How long did Raina wait to conceive? Yeah, really. You guys are ahead of me. Because Raina went through a lot, an expense, quite a trial, invasiveness, many tests, lots of money, like I said. But she stuck to it, went through it. All those impurities were burned out of her, and what happens? In 2019, you went through all of that, and what's going to happen in 2020? I knew you would do that. I just had a feeling you were going to do that. In 2020, the God of Plenty is going to bless Raina and all of us with a beautiful little baby daughter who, yep, will come the first week of March. And I am hoping she is born on Pastor Charles's birthday, March 4th. Then you can name him Charlotte. No. Then you kill two birds with one stone. Anyway. Anyway. We get through our trials, and God rewards us. Now, I want you to see just how good God is and how he will reward you and me. I want you to remember the account of Jacob. You all know who Jacob was in the Bible. He was a deceiver. He learned from his mother. His mother told him how to deceive, and he deceived his father Isaac into giving him the blessing of the firstborn when he was the secondborn. But he tricked his father into thinking that he was the firstborn, and Isaac gave him the blessing, right? Now, when Jacob's brother finds out, Esau, he's out to kill him. So Rebekah, the mother, tells Jacob, go off far away to my brother Laban, your uncle Laban's house. Maybe he has work for you, and you can work for him, and stay there until your brother cools off. And that's what happens. He goes to Laban. And when he goes to Laban, he asks for work. Laban says yes. He meets two of Laban's daughters, his cousins, Leah and Rachel. And he falls in love with Rachel. He loves Rachel. And he wants to marry her. And he asks Laban if he could marry her. And Laban says, yes. 7 years, you got to work for her. So he works 7 years. Now, this is a great trial. You know, we're just talking about this 7 years. But in 7 years, you know what can happen in 7 years' time. He's working and working and going through all those trials. And at the end of those 7 years, he gets deceived. See, you reap what you sow. He was a deceiver, so he got deceived. In the same manner, too, the oldest and the youngest child. It's just amazing what the Lord speaks to us about. So he gets Leah instead of Rachel. And he finds out the next morning after the wedding night, after the marriage has been consummated, he finds out the next morning that he's got Leah for a wife, not Rachel. You know, I said this before, I love to get these things from the Bible. Sometimes we get watered down things that we get from the Bible. But one of the things we get is about a bride and the veil that she wears. Back then, the brides were veiled with heavy tapestry. She couldn't even see to get down the aisle, if there was an aisle. She couldn't see to get to the altar to her groom. She had to be escorted by her father or her mother or whoever was giving her away. And she couldn't see. And neither could the groom. The groom couldn't see her either. He didn't know who she was. He didn't know he was getting Leah instead of Rachel because she had this heavy veil on her face. And we get that today. That's our tradition. Brides walk down the aisle. They have a veil over their face. We say it's because white is purity, but how many? Never mind. You all know what I'm saying. So she walks down the aisle with a white veil on her face, and you could see who she is. But it's a symbolic representation of what they did back in the old days. And when the veil is lifted off of the woman, off of the bride-to-be, it's like saying, here she is. You could see who she is. She's the one. Because of what happened back then, Jacob was tricked. He was deceived. He thought he was getting Rachel, and he got Leah. So 7 years he works. Then Laban says to him, you have to work another 7 years if you want Rachel. Well, why? Because we have a tradition. We marry off the oldest daughter first. That's why you got Leah. 7 more years, you'll get Rachel. So he did. He worked another 7 years. That's 14 years. And he got Rachel. Now he has 2 wives and lots of children. And he wants to take his cattle and his possessions. And he wants to go start a life of his own. And Laban says, nope. You got to work for me another 6 years if you want your cattle and possession. In the meantime, Jacob worked 7, 7, and 6 years, 20 total, perfection. He works all those years for all his things and loves. And this deceiver now is being perfected. He's no longer a deceiver. The impurities of sin have been burned off of him for all those 20 years. Now he's able to take his stuff and go start a life of his own. And he meets up with his brother Esau, and they hug, and they kiss, and they forgive one another. And he also meets up with an angel of the Lord who touches his hip. He walks with a limp from then on in. And he walks with a limp as a different man, because all those impurities of sin and deception have been burned off of him. And now he's at a place. He's just at a place. 20 years he's at a place where he can be used by God. And I don't think, maybe I'm wrong, there's nowhere to tell this, but I don't think that Jacob knew the kind of reward that he was going to get. What reward did he get? God named Jacob Israel. Can you imagine that? He names him Israel, from a deceiver to God's country, to God's beloved people. See, this is the kind of God that we serve. He knows we're not perfect. He knows what caliber or carat of gold we are. He knows. And yet he still wants to use us. And if he can use a deceiver like Jacob and bring him to the place where he's named Israel, how much more will he use you and me who haven't entered into a sin such as that? Yeah, we have our own sins, but I don't think we've been that deceitful where we would actually go to our fathers and say, give me the blessing, I'm the oldest one. We haven't done that. Yeah, we've been deceitful from time to time, right? All of us. Don't look at me like that. Yes, you have been. I've been too. You've been deceitful, you've been liars. Because the Bible tells us that. The Word of God says God is true and every man is a liar. So there you go. It's not me, it's God telling you that. I was, this is funny. This is a small thing. This is just a 9-carat trial, if you want to call it a trial. But anyway, I recently had a 50th high school reunion, and now it's 51. But at the time, it was 50 years, and I didn't go. And can't drive at night, so I didn't go. Is this being recorded? Oh. I guess I can't say it. Say it? All right. I just don't want this person who hears the recording will think it's her. I better turn it off. Blind leading the blind. So anyway, I hear about this high school reunion and who's there and who looks good and who doesn't look good. And all the women who've had work done, they look good, but they still don't look the same as what they did when they were in high school. This is 50 years later. Who looks the same? Even if you look beautiful, you still have aged, right? So I talked to somebody else about who was there, who was there, how are they, do they have a family, are they well, blah, 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 blah. So he says to me, you wouldn't believe, now we're talking about deception and lies. He said to me, you wouldn't believe all of those people there, every one of them look exactly like they did 50 years ago when they were in high school. come on, is this deception? Is this a lie? Come on, how can that happen? So, you know, we do things like that all the time. How many times do we meet people that we haven't seen for 50 years and say, oh, you look just like you did way back then? Somebody said that to me this morning. Anyway, we do have ways of being deceitful. We do have ways of lying, and we shouldn't. And that, even in that small realm, that still has to be burned off of us so that we can go on to bigger and better things, right? Income tax time, you know? We just have to be careful. But anyway, I want to wrap this up. My point in saying all this is that the trials that we went through in 2019 will get us rewards from the God of plenty in 2020. And for, yes, give the Lord a clap offering, a big clap offering, because he rewards us in our sin and our stupidity and our deceptiveness. He still rewards us when we have gone through the fire of impurities. Now, I want to close with this. Where is this? There we go. I want to close. If you're taking notes, write this down. It's very important. 2 Corinthians 4:16. I'm going to start with 2 Corinthians 4:7. Paul said to the Corinthian church, but we have this treasure. What treasure? God, our salvation, our redemption, our new life in Christ. But we have this treasure, God Almighty, in us, in jars of clay. You know, we get the terminology, like I said, about the veil. Here's another one. Did you ever wonder where we get the term crackpots? We get it right here. We're crackpots. Because we have this great treasure, God, in us. We are jars of clay, cracked pots, to show that all suppressing power is from God and not from us. This is a very famous scripture right here and one of my favorites. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always, always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. And let's go down to the 16th verse. I'll close with this. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory, far outweighing them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Because for what is seen is temporary, and what is unseen is eternal. So the Lord is taking us through our trials in faith, burning out the impurities in us so that we will be refined like gold. And someday we'll be rewarded even more when we reach that 24.99 carat gold. Will we meet the Lord either in the air when he comes back for us that way, or whether we go by way of the grave? Pastor Tom.
Amen. Amen. Let me ask you all to stand. I'm going to pray a blessing on you. Also going to invite forward anyone who needs prayer for anything, and for anyone who especially may want to, I'm going to say get right with the Lord, but maybe realign yourself with what you know. You know that that Father God has been looking for you to come back, and you want to close out this year and move into the days that he has next year in a place that he can show you that he is a good, good father, that he does desire to bless us. It's to his good pleasure, it says. He gets pleasure out of blessing us, the same way we enjoy seeing our loved ones enjoy the gifts we give them and the ways that we can bless them. It is just a small picture of how much God wants to enjoy you enjoying him. So, Father God, we are before you as your beloved children. You gave us this right to call you Father because we have believed in your work, the work that you have accomplished through Jesus. And we have taken that into our hearts. Lord, and as we read, you take our heart of stone and you made it alive again. You gave us a heart that would beat after you, that we can know you. And Lord, as we close out this year, I pray that each of us would hunger and thirst for you in ways that we never have before, so that you could fulfill us and fill us like you never have before. Lord, your amazing, sometimes unfathomable way that you weave and you use and you work all things to your glory, to our good, because we do love you. And you've called us. So, Father, for each person here, I pray that they would be drawn to you. And, Lord, I pray that even some would come forward and be prayed with and for as they commit themselves to you. And, Father, for each of us, for all of us in our families, Lord, we need your blessing. We need your protection. We need your covering. We need your leading, your provision. And, God, we thank you. You know, you said that it's you who've even given us these abilities. So, Lord, whether it be to earn and to give and to love, We thank you because we surrender and ask that you would continue to use each of us. And Lord, I want to pray a blessing over everyone here and their families with the words that you gave to Moses to bless Israel with. So may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You're blessed and dismissed. Please come forward if you'd like to be prayed for. And if you have opportunity, please go into our fellowship hall and enjoy each other.